Okay, so we're back with Ben Zaba getting into the nuts and bolts of what he's talking about. So Ben, expand on what you were saying.
There are people all over the planet that have identified problems that we've talked about. It's not unknown that it's this international banking cartel. So a lot of people have identified this problem, and many are working very hard and fearlessly to come up with solutions. So it's really an exciting time. There's lots of stuff going on. I mentioned Tom Greco's work. He's devoted the last 20 years of his life to empower people through setting up local credit exchanges. He's got some great insights for us. Another guy named Anthony Michals out in the Netherlands has taken mutual credit and expanded it to another application. He's got a software package he calls the Talent that looks very interesting to me. I think for my local implementation in my community, that's the one I'm going to really look at. But really, I want to invite people into this process because it's we, the people, need to take back the power over the money, but that involves taking back responsibility. You can't just have power without responsibility. So we need to learn about some of these basic systems. We need those who want to make a difference in the world. This is an area where you can really contribute and benefit from the work of others. So looking around at people doing local currency stuff, for those who like working through the government channels, Ellen Brown is more pushing the public banking thing. So instead of the U.S. government borrowing money, it could very easily just make its own. It could cut ties any minute. If it wasn't bought out, if it wasn't a servant of the banks, it would, you know, it could cut ties
with the banks, you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, it could take back the power to produce money. Instead of the government borrowing money, 1/3 of our income tax goes to paying the interest on the government debt. That is totally unnecessary. The U.S. government, if anyone has the power to create its own money, it's the U.S. government. But they're weakened. They've gotten addicted to this drug of private credit. So there's that approach. The North Dakota has a public bank. The state has a bank. Any state could do this. Look at their model. It's good for everyone. Public just means good for all. Private banking means good for some. That's the real difference here. And God's way is good for all.
What would you say to someone who is a good citizen, a good Christian, gives away a lot of money? They're using it for the kingdom of God. Why would someone who's living a prosperous life abandon this money system for any paradigm that others might come up with, in spite of the fact that they're more beneficial, perhaps, to the overall population? What would be their incentive, their motivation?
Well, I think it's kind of like teaching somebody how to fish rather than giving a fish is the analogy. I do want to be clear that spirit is dominant over any of the material realities. So a person's intention is primary in his spiritual growth. So just because we happen to be born into a time when there are this economic oppression. If one's intentions are pure, if one really wants to know God's will and do it and love others, you know, then they will grow. Ask and ye shall receive. But as far as long-term and lasting growth, if you really want to help people, then we need to take the blood drain out of them. If there's this tube hooked into our veins that's pulling blood out of us, our economic blood, basically, our life force, and putting it, you know, in some offshore bank account, the usury system is. Giving them a cracker or a sandwich, you know, it's going to help them for a day. But if their blood's being sucked out of them, then, you know, if you want to really help them, take the tube out of your arm, take it out of his, and help him farm to grow his own food. Help him connect with source. I don't mean that everyone should be farmers, but...
So in other words, you're saying that there ought to be an intentional initiative for people. Let's just talk about people of faith, although there are many people who would also probably agree with these convictions. People for whom the money system is working and they're doing fine and they're being generous and all of that, you're saying that there ought to be a level of intentionality, nevertheless, to help create and sustain a movement to find a new and better way of dealing with our money. even if it's working and, you know, before
God. Well, it might be working for some, but it's not working for the average person. It's not working for the workers. It's not working for those countries that are being the predator. IMF and World Bank are just, like I said, sucking the wealth out of them. There might be some beneficiaries, you know, they might be getting some wealth without work, but that's actually not beneficial for them. That's bad for the soul. You want to grow, you got to earn it.
Okay, so again, when it comes to what people can actually do, someone who believes what you're saying, they're confused, they don't know what to do, what's the first step for them?
I guess you're assuming they're already seeking God's will, right?
That would be wonderful.
Yeah, well, that's really, I mean, seek ye first the will of God, the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added. Really, the shadow follows the essence. So that is number one. These people that are trying to control, they're materialists, or they've cut themselves off from God, at least. So they can't imagine God is organizing a force of goodness. So really tap into that force that exists. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. There are so many people all over the world that we are spiritually united.
Well, how does someone tap into that?
I would say, you know, you got to understand, or it's fun at least for a type of mind like mine. It's really fun to learn about this stuff. You know, it's like knowledge is power. When you learn money is just a social contract, it's just an agreement between people, then, you know, it's just a set of rules, basically. If the rules are bad rules, like our current ones that allow the rich to get richer for nothing, then we just need to change the rules. It's not that difficult.
How? How does someone change the rules?
By cooperating, by producing things and networking with other people that produce them. So figure out what your needs are. If you need a medium of exchange, then create one, because that's one of the great needs in our communities, and that's one project I'm working on. I haven't done it yet, so I can't give experience on one that is actually working. But Anthony McCall's in the Netherlands is showing some promise with his. And, you know, there are models that are experimenting out there. There are lots of little currencies and even large ones. The VIR in Switzerland, WIR, has had crazy success. I mean, multiple billions of dollars of exchange. It's a credit exchange, like the one we were talking about before. So implementing a usury-free system, learn about usury. I mean, if you're talking to a religious audience, religion played a huge role in keeping these predators at bay for a long time. It wasn't until, you know, kind of recently, 500 years ago or so, that the Christians started to let up on the anti-usury stance that they had. And that opened the floodgates for all kinds of exploitative systems that centralize power, that just pull it up to this ruling elite. So learn about usury. Take strong stands against it. You know, try to work faster to use the money we do have, turn it into a better system faster than it erodes our culture, which is, you know, what it's doing.
Okay, well, there's a lot there that's still a little mind-boggling. But I think probably what you're asking people and what you're hoping people will take away from this conversation is to recognize that the system we're currently operating under didn't always exist. It's a fairly modern construct. It's exponentially ruining people's lives. And that it's time for people to start thinking outside the box, especially people of God, people of the church, people of faith, who carry a burden of God's mandate.
So, privilege. We get to make this place more heavenly. We're God's children, and this is the outskirts of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Mm-hmm. And so it's a great, great time to be alive. Organization is the other key piece. We need to be proactive about organizing. We need to, for example, forget about alternative currency stuff. Maybe it's too weird. If you're thinking about investing, instead of investing in the stock market, which is basically like the devil's casino, I think, you know, you know, it's, why are you putting your money in this weird entity? Instead, invest in those people locally or who you know that are both service-oriented and capable. Invest in them. Instead of them having a job where they're wasting their life force because, you know, it's the only money-paying job. Give them a salary to do those creative things that they're capable of doing. So that's another simple way. If you just want to stick with the dollar, that can have huge effects. Just think about investing in people, in basically in the kingdom of heaven, in those service-oriented and capable people.
And not think about whether or not it's tax deductible. Should that matter?
Spiritual realities are way more interesting and way more fun than money, numbers on a screen. If you're thinking about your bank account and the numbers on the screen, you know, that's fun, kind of like a video game. The numbers go up and down and this and that. But spiritual realities, to make a difference in this world, to help the whole, to try to fix, I mean, get to the root. If this usury thing, this cabal of, you know, rulers is like the root of our material problems. This philosophy, this false doctrine of liberty and self-aggrandizement, you know. These are the problems. And the excitement that comes with actually joining the master who cleansed the temple and taking on some of these things, you may not get as many dollars back or something, but actually that's a blessing when you think about it. But you will gain spiritual fruit, spiritual treasures, store up your treasures in heaven.
Well, this is fascinating, and I'm very grateful that you have really done a lot of hard work on this. It's confusing for people like me who it's all I can do to figure out, you know, how to balance a checkbook, let alone develop a new way of thinking about money and stepping into a new paradigm for it. But thank you for taking the time to open up this topic, and I look forward to having future conversations and providing links and resources for our listeners who want to continue to think outside the box and explore how they themselves can be part of the change. Thank you, Ben.
Thank you.